walls came down when your love shone through. Now my life will never be.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Linda Lee Tarver. Say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Before we get to her, if this is your first time, please go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. And if you click on struggling, if you need something, you're struggling, you need clothes or food or baby formula or struggling with depression or therapy, please go on there, have that checked out. Most of it will be free. You call direct lines, two people who can help you. If you're not struggling, but you know someone that is, be the person that sends them the good news so we can all help somebody. Help us, help you, help them.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So I have not told anybody who you are because I didn't want to break the surprise. But just give our people a brief job description of what you do.
So I'm Linda Lee Tarver. I go by Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, and I am a consultant. I own my own business called Tarver Consulting. Mm-hmm. And I'm a mother of two, a wife of the hot dog guy in Lansing, Michigan.
Clint. Now, explain that. How does he know, like, specific? Because out here, it's Kogel.
I know it's Kogel. I know. We're not going to do the flint. You know? Okay. So he doesn't sell Kogels. Kogels are a little expensive right now.
Yeah. What's he sell?
He sells just a Gordon's all beef hot dog. So it's really good. But he's the hot dog guy. You know, when we met, he was working a couple jobs. And and then when we got married,
Is he a hot dog back then, too?
He loves hot dogs. He owned a restaurant, a soul food restaurant.
Okay.
And then he had taco wagons and other things.
So he's just a food guy.
He's a food guy. Okay. So when we got married, when we were dating, he was not selling hot dogs. But then when we got married, I said, what would you like to do? He says, I want to sell hot dogs.
Kidding.
Then be free to do that. Be free to do that.
That's
follow
awesome.
Your passion. And so he loves it.
All right. So let's get into your story.
Okay.
And then I'll get to it at the end there. So where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
I'm the youngest of 10.
10.
10.
Youngest.
Youngest.
Oof.
Yeah. Youngest of 10.
How many older brothers you had?
Oh, my gosh. Six brothers.
And, boy. Yes. And your husband made it through all that.
Yes, he did.
That's like a gauntlet. Okay.
So he
did Lansing.
I did Lansing, and lots of big family here. We moved. Mm-hmm. My family moved up from the South, so from Evergreen, Alabama.
That's the stickety sticks.
It's the stickety stick. They finally got a McDonald's.
Finally.
Yes, and a street light.
Yeah.
So I was
those are the two main things to let you know you're on the map, a street light and McDonald's.
And a McDonald's, exactly.
All right. And so your parents were from Alabama?
My parents were born in Kanika County. Kanika County is known for the Kanika County sausage.
Wow, so you've had a link to...
Yes, it's known for their spicy sausage in Kanika County. That's one of the things that it's known for. And they had a Piggly Wiggly the last time I was there.
It's got a meat undertone to it for the whole thing. That's awesome. All right, so how old were you when you moved out of there?
Well, my parents actually came from Alabama. I was never born in Alabama. I was born in Lansing.
Yeah.
Sparrow Hospital in Lansing. And they fled Alabama. So my parents were living in Alabama. They were previously married, and they had one child each. And my uncle, my paternal uncle, was lynched by the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
And so my parents.
When did that happen? Like what year?
I don't know the exact year. Probably in the 40s.
Pre World War II.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
And they fled to Michigan. They didn't know anyone in Michigan.
They said, that's it, we're out.
They just went north.
And you can't blame them for that.
They just went north. They took two children.
Wow.
And they arrived in Michigan.
And they lived in a, did they say why? Michigan?
Because it was the farthest north
that
they could go.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And they settled in Lansing. And my father found a job or got a job at the Coca-Cola bottling company. It was
doing what was he like, inside or truck driving?
He was inside.
Okay.
Yep. He was inside. And
Your mom?
My mother, she made hats and she cleaned and
okay,
babysat.
What kind of hats, just for the record?
She did all kinds of like beautiful Sunday hats. All these right. ladies' hats.
Oh, like the Queen Elizabeth
hats. The Queen,
hats.
Yes. Okay. Well, those beautiful
hats. Yeah, those horse day hats.
Yes,
all
yes.
All right.
So she made hats. She cleaned, you know, homes. So she was a domestic until right. they were able to save up enough money to buy their own home.
So you come from a very strong background.
Absolutely.
All right. So you got tough parents dealing with real racism.
My father fought in World War II.
What was he? What?
He was in the Army.
Oh, they have the worst food. No wonder he likes, no wonder he likes food.
But he was in Germany.
Okay.
And I remembered him. He didn't speak a lot about his experience in sure. the war. But what he did say was that the black soldiers were not allowed to spend time, you know, just, you know, have the same accommodations as the white soldiers. And sure. that in Germany, they would tell the German women that, you know, black soldiers had tails. They were like, you know, had tails.
I don't get it.
That they were monkeys and they had tails.
Oh,
and so.
Sorry.
No, but it.
I was like, Tim.
But he.
I don't. All right.
He was just.
So they had to fight all the real racism back in the tough days.
My parents saw it all.
Yeah.
And I remember driving. I saw this movie called The Green Book. And we would take a pilgrimage down to Alabama. My parents would save money and send money down. And we would all go on vacation to see our family
yeah.
in Alabama. And I remember this place called Stuckey's. I don't know if you remember
Stuckey's.
Those. Stuckey's was a restaurant right off the highway. And there were two Stuckey's that would allow black families to eat inside. Wow. And I, you know, I'm young. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me. We were just on a road trip. We
yeah.
did a lot of, you know, they knew the gas stations to stop at that allowed him to pump his own gas
right.
and they knew the Stuckey's where we could stop and grab something to eat. But we
yeah.
packed our own meals and we drove straight through and, you know, and
yeah.
stopped for restroom breaks. And, but when we got down south, they said, you know, it was just such a wonderful time to see family.
Yeah. And they had, you said you had a big family down
there. Big family. And so both my mother and father were from Evergreen. And so
wow.
both sides of my family were there. And it was a beautiful thing, but
yeah.
they really loved family and they never looked at, you know, people as being anything other than, you know, children of God and
yeah.
walking in love and forgiveness. And I remember a guy at a gas station called my father a boy. And so mm-hmm. my father was older when I was born, if you can imagine,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought it was hilarious because this young man is.
You didn't understand how old
I did
was.
Not understand that it was a, you know, a negative term.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
just thought this guy can't even see. This guy is older.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
father.
Maybe his eyesight's going.
Yeah, out. Exactly.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, innocent, you know,
yeah, yeah.
child. I'm
so this I wanted to make sure you got a chance to talk about it because the way that your life kind of has.
Yes.
Has gone.
Yes.
It's important to see. That struggle broods positive,
yes.
not just negative. And this is going to be super important. So I want to make sure that everybody got that. So we got that.
Yes.
So you said you grew up in Lansing.
Yes.
Normal childhood.
I wouldn't say normal childhood.
All right.
I would say it's the only one that I know. So I guess it's normal
normally
for me.
Normally you?
Yeah, normally
yeah.
me.
Any major struggles between like 0 and 10 that helped really kind of define
so
your personality?
I grew up in a all-black neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, where we could live.
Sure.
So at the time, where we could live. My parents were very much part of civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm assuming this is the 60s?
This is the 60s, yes.
Okay.
And so my parents decided that they wanted their children to be part of integration.
Okay.
And so
front line.
Outstanding. Yes. But they loved people. And I think
yeah.
that this was part of the great struggle
yeah.
for integration and their children were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my experience was getting on a bus to be bused from the west side of Lansing to the east side of Lansing to go to school, to a predominantly all-white school.
It had to be scary at certain levels, right?
It wasn't scary because I was a child and I didn't know any different.
How old are you?
I was, you know, five going to kindergarten. Oh, that was my kindergarten through fifth grade was bused. So I didn't know any different. Yeah. This was school.
When did you, was there a moment that you realized what the time period was bringing? And you're like, wow, or?
I think I was in high school by the time I was reading about busing.
Mm.
And integration
and
in a textbook that little girl was me.
Wow.
And it didn't dawn on me.
Did you feel like strong about that?
Or? I felt different about it. I felt a little bit different, but I did not lack anything. So, you know, when I went to worship at church, it was all black.
Yeah.
My neighborhood was all black, but my school and my friends at school were all white.
Yeah.
And, you know, my K through 12th grade was that way. So at fifth grade, we moved. We were allowed to move and purchase a home in a predominantly suburb of Lansing.
Okay.
And, you know, again, I find myself at a predominantly all-white school.
Right.
And, you know, there was just an expectation from my father, you know, and my mother.
Like of excellence?
Of excellence and behavior. Good and to you. Represent the family.
Good for them.
And so, you know, coming from a large family,
mm-hmm.
we could find ourselves, you know, being bitter and angry. And
sure.
We weren't social justice warriors. We were justice for Jesus warriors.
Okay.
And
give me examples so I know what you mean.
So my father wanted us to represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a deacon and my mother and was saved and we were all saved going to the church. We mm-hmm. were baptized. But they wanted our behavior to be better.
To be representative
of Christ.
And you're like having to do it.
Exactly.
As a teenager.
As a teenager.
As a teenage girl, too, which I've had.
Yes. Ooh. I'm telling you, there were some, you know, some scriptures we had to memorize.
Yeah, I bet.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yeah,
honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth.
Yeah.
And that Ephesian scripture was definitely embedded into us in terms of our obedience. But, you know, let your mind be that of Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the blessings and the cursings of people who walk. You know, what does the Lord require of you?
So this was a mindset that he taught and lived. And
absolutely.
Man, that is so great.
And the fact that I was blessed to have a mother and a father at home.
Yeah, right. Made all the difference, right?
In hindsight, you know, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But we did have people on our street that were single mothers.
Mm.
And, you know, my parents, my parents would, they didn't make it a habit of lying, but they really wanted to cover up kind of the... the issues of...
Yeah, and you got a funny story for us that's going to take place in the third section of the Jeff session. But right now, we got to take a break. We're going to go our first break. What a great place to stop. If you've not gone to spiritualwarfareunit.com, please go and check that out, and we'll be right back. Taking a quick break from our podcast, I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case... In case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in, you go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, you click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program. All right, welcome back to The Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Linda Lee Tarver, and she was just telling us about her childhood and growing up and how the discipline of her parents and having faith in her life and two parents to help manage was such a big deal. And so you went through that through your high school year. And now were you a sports person? Were you a nerd? Like,
so I thought I was pretty tall for my age. You know, I'm 5'7", but I thought that was pretty tall for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried sports. I tried basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work with me, especially since I was loving to rock some nails.
Mm.
And so it just did not work.
Yeah, that would hurt the nails.
Yeah, it would hurt the nails. But I was a talker.
Okay. Debate?
Debate.
Okay.
So I was on the debate team in high school.
Shocker. Any noteworthy
topics,
tournaments?
Yeah, there were a few. So it was, I went to Waverly High School. So it's a suburb of Lansing. And they had a debate team. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And, you know, we were talking about issues that today are not really relevant, you know, today, but they were important, you know, back then. And, but I remembered my English teacher asking me to do forensics. It was a sort of a speaking competition and a public speaking competition. Yes.
Okay.
And so I said I would try that. And I won some awards. I won Optimist contest as well.
Okay.
And so that was, and then I had participated in theater. So I loved theater. I had the theater bug at that point in high school. So it was a great experience for me.
All right, so you graduated in when?
82.
Okay, so you graduate 1982. Yes. Your grades were?
Really good.
So did you get scholarships anywhere?
I did not go straight to college. I waited.
Okay, what did you do right after?
I went to work. So that, one of the
Hot
things.
Hot dogs?
No. My first job at 14 was as a bookkeeper for a nail salon.
At 14?
Nail and hair salon, yes, at 14. I had a full-time job at JCPenney. I was a switchboard operator.
At 14?
At 16.
Oh, at 16.
So full-time job. So I went to school during the morning.
So that's the people that would switch the calls?
Well, it was electronic then, so it was not the old.
The plugs.
Not the 20s, right? No plugs. But it was definitely.
It definitely made it funnier, didn't it?
Okay, I'm not that old. I'm just going to go. They call it a switchboard, but it was electronic switchboard. Yeah, it was high tech back then, right?
Sorry, it was there.
So the JCPenney opened up at the Lansing Mall. Uh-huh. I was working there.
Yeah.
I was working full time. Mm-hmm. I went to school during the day because I had enough credits to graduate. So I went to school for 2 years in my junior and senior year in the morning, and I went to work.
What was the reason? Just cause or because?
I wanted to work. I mean, just had a desire to work and make money. So that was my priority.
So how long did that go on?
I worked there until I got a job with Meijer Thrifty Acres back in the day.
Now, how long was that?
Let's see, for 4 or 5 years.
Okay, so you're doing bookkeeping and...
I did bookkeeping.
And not the plugs.
And not the plugs. Switchboard operator at JCPenney. And then I went to Meijer. I started off
doing what?
I was an undercover security.
Shopper?
Undercover security.
You were security.
I was undercover, plain clothes security, catching thieves. Mostly girls and boys stealing cigarettes and, you know, lipstick.
But how in the world did you just apply?
I applied. Yeah.
And they said yes.
Yeah. That was my first job.
You look like you liked that one.
I loved that one. Pretending I was shopping. It was just weird.
Because you're like theater.
I did. Yes. Yes. I was acting.
But so you did that for 4 or 5 years?
I did that for a short time, and then I became a secretary in their, what they called pre-pack. It was a warehouse.
Okay.
And then I went from there to a department manager. I did domestics, which was...
Hold on. Yes. That seems like a jump.
It was a jump.
Like, how did that happen?
Through Meijer. It was Meijer. I just applied for a manager trainee. And I did.
You just applied for it, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, bring her in. So I trained, and then I got my own department.
What department?
Children's department.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Okemos Meijer. And then
Hold on, wait a minute. Where's Okemos?
Okemos is outside of Lansing. It's a suburb of Lansing.
Okay. A lot of Indian names in Michigan.
I know.
All right, so you're running a department. You're how old at this point?
I'm in my early 20s.
Wow. So you're like 23, 24. You're
younger than
that.
Yeah, about 20.
Running an apartment?
Yes. Yes.
And normally that's good enough.
Yeah.
But that's not how you
no,
work.
No, no.
Okay.
And then I wanted to get in with the state of Michigan. I wanted to
What made you make that decision?
Because
this is a big decision.
So running a department, I had no life whatsoever. I worked all the time. I had three employees.
Okay.
And if someone called in sick, I worked a double shift. And I worked every weekend.
Why don't you tell them how you ran an apartment, hire a couple more people.
Well,
the budget wasn't there.
The budget wasn't there. And it was a children's department. It was hard work, but it was good work. I appreciated it. It was a blessing at the time, and I could do it.
Double shift.
But I really wanted a 8 to 5. If I could do 8 to 5, life would be good. That's what I was looking at. And, you know, their benefits were okay, but not great.
And were you single at this time?
I was single.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And so
American dream.
I just wanted an 8 to 5. So I applied at the state of Michigan Social Services at the time. That's what it was called, Social Services. And they said, well, we have a part-time volunteer position if you want to. You could volunteer to do a protective services case aide.
Okay.
Position, and if there's an opening, they will consider hiring you.
Right.
So I utilized my typing skills. I visited homes to help to do a site visit. They trained me.
What was that like?
It was interesting.
Was it like life-changing, like wow? Or
you
just
know, my
like-
mother was in probate court. She was part of the Maxi training school. She was director of the shelter home with abused and runaway children. And
of course she was.
And then she retired worked at that time for, I think, the deputy sheriff for the Ingham County Sheriff's Department.
No kidding.
So that's my mama. She was the popo. So,
home life must have been outstanding.
It was outstanding.
You think
this
food is bad?
No. We were obedient children. Both my parents carried a gun, right?
So. I didn't hear you.
We were obedient, okay?
Yes,
yes, ma'am. Yeah. I didn't even know my parents' name. What's your mother's name, ma'am?
Yeah. My mom's name's
sir.
Officer.
Deputy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's Deputy Tyler.
No, it was Lee. It was Lee. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, it's so perfect.
So, you know, I transitioned from that to I finally got a job with the state. I was with.
How long were you doing the volunteer before you got hired in? How long was
it? Was like 90 days. It was very quick.
Wow. Okay.
I did an excellent job in my volunteer role. And so if you are going to volunteer your time, do the best you can. Show them.
You never know, right?
Because you never know. I didn't get hired in protective services, but my work was so exceptional. I typed all of my reports.
Yeah.
You know, who knew that people could type? But I was typing 120 words per minute.
Wow.
Air-free. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
I was good.
I thought
was
60 was
class.
Really good.
No, that was my business class. They called it business, right?
Wow.
So it was typing in shorthand, but still, it was a skill that I had. It was easy for me to do.
Yeah. So you got your 8 to 5?
I got my 8 to 5. I started on with the state and and then, you know, I retired in 2019. So I did 34 years with the state of Michigan.
So that was you just loved that, huh?
I did. I had various roles and positions, but it was rewarding because I was helping people. My last role was similar to the assistant to the Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson.
Okay.
I was director of community affairs.
Hold on.
I was election
integrity.
You're
just jumping all over the place.
Back yes.
That's slower people. So
okay.
You went from being a volunteer to 34 years. That's a lot of information.
That's a lot of information.
So you get the job. You're inspecting the houses.
No, I didn't. I was volunteering.
Oh, you got
inspecting
into another
children.
Department.
Yes, I got
so
into
what was the new department.
It was Medicaid. I worked in the Medicaid to help enroll individuals into get a primary care physician.
All right,
so that was my job.
How long did that?
Very like 6 months for that, and then I got a full time job. That was part time,
but
I got a full time job with the Department of Transportation.
Doing.
I was helping with the permits, issuing permits for oversize and kind of weird loads, like pipe and poles. If you want to move a house, then we
move
would
have.
If you want to move a house.
Okay.
Or if you want to move something that is not acceptable to move over, like a wide, something wide load, loads. Something. Wide loads.
So you're the wide load
registration person. But you know,
that sounds bad when you say it. But it makes sense.
But let me tell you why.
Okay, well, because here's me. If I was you, I'm a jokey person. I'd be like, you are approved for a wide load, sir. Here you go. And I would have a...
I think you've been eating too much, sir, yeah, so listen, we're going to approve you for a wide load.
You clearly drive trucks, and you are a wide load.
But the unique part about it is when I got that position, I had no idea why these permits needed to be issued and what the role was. They had to have... a mapped out path.
Okay.
To get to their destination.
And you had to know the exact path.
Well, you needed to know that there are certain bridges that are 13 feet, 6 inches
high. Oh, yeah, yeah, height and weight.
And
yeah.
If the load is 15 feet, you cannot go that path.
Gotcha.
And so you had to take them to a path
mm-hmm.
that would do that. And if it's down a street, you had to cut wires.
Okay.
And you had to, and these people are paying for all of this as
yeah.
well. But the permit to do that had to be very precise on
yeah.
what path you're going.
Because if you miss it and something breaks, that's on you, right?
Yeah, it's on the state too.
Wow.
So it was a very interesting experience with transportation. I really loved it there.
How long did you do that?
I did that 4 years, I think.
So you really did like
yeah,
that.
Okay. I did. And then I went to Detroit.
Now, hold on a minute. Before you leave, like, how old are you at this time?
I was still in my early 20s.
Like 24?
24, yeah.
Maybe. Wow.
Yeah.
And still single?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just living the American life.
Yeah.
And all right. So why Detroit?
So I wanted to get into supervision.
So to do that, you had to do training in Detroit?
No, nope. I just applied for a job. I'm just telling you. So I applied for a job as a supervisor in Detroit. And at the time, I did not have a degree. I went straight to work.
I'm still there.
In order for you to get into management, you had to either have a degree
mm-hmm.
or get the experience
at
the entrant level position. So... In Lansing's very competitive when
sure.
it came to state employment, but
mm-hmm.
Detroit was looking for a supervisor in social services, providing welfare benefits.
All right. Before you go any farther,
yeah.
we have to take another break.
Okay.
This is going by so fast.
I know.
Please check out lyndaleetarver.com so you can see what she's about, and we're going to get into the next session there. If you've still not gone to Spiritual Warfare Unit on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe so you can be the one that helps other people, please do that. You sit tight. We'll be right back.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
It points out, my bad parts, but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And, I'm trying to apply that and, make a better life for myself because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages. And the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army sometimes, we start using these big words that people don't understand, like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, the different things of, the sin part. And then he comes back with the, how to make it better. And he just points it out. It's there. I didn't know all this stuff was in there. But now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow. I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There are some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Linda Lee Tarver. If you've not checked out what she's about, please go to LindaLeeTarver.com. And we were just getting into your supervisory.
Yes. Sophie,
you're in your early 20s still.
Yes.
All right. So you go to Detroit because there's better opportunity.
It was a supervisory position.
Yeah,
there.
But that's a hike. So did you move?
So I told my parents that I was going to Detroit for a year. I did not tell the truth. So I didn't want them to be concerned because it was still a rough city. But I told them it was just a year, and I would be back in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord allowed me to keep that promise to my parents.
Whew.
Because I worked a year in social services in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. As a supervisor.
As a supervisor. Okay. And then I got another supervisory promotion in Lansing, working for the Secretary of State.
Were you looking license. Or it just came?
I looked for something. And it was to the year.
No kidding.
I was offered the job. I interviewed. I was offered the job. And I did not have to renew my lease or anything.
No kidding.
I was allowed to just move back. And my parents were like, well, that was a fast year. Little did they know I did not have any opportunities. But the Lord honored it.
Wow.
And so.
All right. So here you are at 25.
Yeah.
Back in Lansing with a supervisory role.
Yes.
And what was this supervisory role for?
I worked for driver license appeal division. So individuals who had lost their license because of either drinking and driving or accidents or, you know, just points or anything like that.
Yeah.
They could appeal.
Was that a fun job? That doesn't sound like a fun job, man.
Sounds
like you get yelled at a lot at that job. You know?
Quite honestly, I was able to help a lot of people.
Oh, get it figured out.
Yes, because there were some issues with getting your driver's license back, and it still is, but I was trying to be an advocate for people to get their license back. Yeah. I know with people with drinking and driving, we had Mothers Against Drunk Driving and different things, but it was really unfair for people to have their license taken for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, they have paid their debt to society in terms of the criminal penalties, but their license was being restricted and suspended or revoked for many, many, many years.
All right. So how long did you do that?
So I worked there 15 years.
So you really liked this job?
I really loved it.
Okay.
And I became a project manager with the state.
All right. So that only puts you at 40.
Yeah. Around there.
So,
30
so you worked in the Secretary of State?
I worked for 34 years with the Secretary of State, with the state of Michigan.
Yeah. So you were
29 of those years with the Secretary of State.
So I'm just trying to get this into my head. So if you're going into the Secretary of State, you were the person I called if you couldn't get it figured out with the person behind the desk?
No, I didn't work in any of the branch offices.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I worked in our... I worked in the driver license traffic safety arena for many years.
So is that somewhere where people appealed to you?
Appealed
and you were on a board or something?
We had attorneys, and it was administrative law judges that would decide your cases if you were getting your license back or not. And my staff would help prepare those cases as administrative cases for a hearing officer to look at your case.
And you did that for 15 years?
I did that for 15 years.
All right. Yeah. Now, during that 15-year time stretch that you're doing this, you're just living, family, what's going on in personal life?
Yeah, I had gotten married and divorced and remarried again and two children. And
boys, girls?
One boy, one girl, Jennifer
right.
and Terrence, yes. And it was a great time. I love my family. And going to church.
This is 2000?
It's after that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it was, I can't remember the years. I'm just telling you I retired. So I'm like, I can't remember. Yeah. I started in 85 with the state of Michigan. Yeah. So 1985.
Well, I was just adding 15 on a 25 because you were mid-20s when you took the job. So
Already,
so 2000 something.
Yeah, right. You're dealing with a woman's age, so you know.
Yeah, it doesn't get past that number.
No, don't get past 40.
Yeah, in fact, everything from this point is like 27 again.
Yeah, it's 27, yeah.
No,
30,
we're getting there. Listen, I know beyond that number doesn't even exist. I'm aware. Those are just pretend numbers.
Yeah.
All right, so here you are in your mid-20s.
Yeah, a little older.
And, all right, so married, divorced, kids, and you decide what then, like?
So I decided that I would go back to school.
So after leading a successful career in the state of Michigan, you decide to go back to school.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's put a pin in this for
okay.
a second. After you retired.
No, I was, before I retired, I went back to school. So,
okay. How much time do you have left before you retired?
I had, 10 years left.
Okay. So your reason for doing this was?
So in my retirement, I had prayed to the Lord that, you know, there's some things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I wanted to teach. I wanted to act, going to acting.
So still in the same vein.
I wanted to, I went through all of the desires that I had in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Lord gave me was opportunities in the community to do all the things that I had a desire to do. So I was acting at Riverwalk Theater, which is in Lansing.
Yeah.
And so my acting bug was satisfied there. And I sat on the board there for 18 years about. And I wanted to teach, and I do Sunday school teaching, so I was a Sunday school teacher. And it was not what I had envisioned, but it was what the Lord had envisioned.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to be a doctor and write a book.
You just decided, I want to be a doctor.
I want to be a doctor.
Of what?
It didn't matter at the time.
Oh, you just wanted to
That was my heart's desire as a young girl.
Oh, you have to get that doctoral shit.
I wanted to get that doctor because, you know, I was a very good student, and I love learning.
Okay.
I was a voracious reader, and I love research. I was a debate, nerd.
What did you go to school for?
So then? I got my bachelor's in management, business management.
Easy fit, okay.
Yeah, and
using all the experience to get
exactly. And my master's is in industrial organizational psychology.
Wait, hold on. Industrial and organizational psychology.
Yes. So it is, it's a fancy word. It's an organizational psychologist.
It's like a $10 handle.
It is. So organizational psychology allows you to kind of look at processes and process improvement, to look at your hiring, to see if the people that you're hiring are a good fit for your organization.
So at a macro level.
Yes.
Okay.
And it also allows you to hire CEOs and to administer the personality test and to.
Oh, I got you.
So it does that as well. So,
you're hiring the big fish to make sure that the direction that you want the thing to go is going.
Exactly. Because there's a culture in organizations, and sometimes the leader of the organization doesn't match the culture.
Right. Not that they're bad. It's just the decision process is different.
Or that they have different priorities.
Right.
And so.
And so you learned how to identify those to your master's degree. Okay.
Correct.
And then your doctorate.
The first doctorate is in theology.
Okay.
So I went through Kingdom University to attain my doctorate in theology.
Okay.
And my dissertation was my book, Dyed in the Wool.
Okay.
And so that was what I submitted as part of my dissertation.
All right. So give us an overview of the
Dyed in the Wool. So Dyed in the Wool, it's a biblical guide for Republican women. That's what I wrote it
biblical
for.
Biblical guide for Republican women.
All right. Exactly.
Very specific.
It is. And it's a niche book, I call it that, because I could have made it generic.
Mm-hmm.
But these were speeches that I gave to Republican women across the state as I went around in politics. And there was a title and a lesson taught. And these are the women who glorified God and allowed themselves to be used by God to all do right. a great
and,
work.
And this is sold where?
On Amazon.com, Liberty Hill Press, and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay. First of all, that's awesome.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So before we get to the next part, you went from business degree to the $10 handle master
exactly.
to theology. That was kind of a turn there.
Yes, but this was the Lord's hand operating on a level that I so appreciate how he uses his children. Because he took the desires that I had and he manifest them.
Okay.
And the Word of God says that man makes plans, but the Lord orders steps.
Right.
So he doesn't want us to stop making plans and casting vision in our lives.
Right.
But he's going to be the ultimate person.
Yeah, he knows why you're here.
The Father to handle all of the things that we have a desire to do. He will place us in that position.
He says, how can a man know his path when God directs his steps, right?
Exactly.
So, man, we have to take another break. It's
okay.
going so fast. Please go check out LindaLeeTarver.com to see what she was about. Hit like, share, and subscribe. Be the person that helps someone. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold. Share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, has some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid sign-ups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really have some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Linda Lee Tarver from LindaLeeTarver.com. And the third session is our gem session where we get our funny stories. And so I had asked ahead of time. So you said you had two prepared.
I did.
So we are ready for those stories. What do you got?
Okay, so one funny story is the fact that my parents were not liars, okay? Mm-hmm. But they did not tell me everything as a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on a street, again, an all-black neighborhood. My mother and father both worked, but there were a lot of intact families, mother and father and kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some women on the block who had children and no husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't understand what was going on, and I was told that the father died in the war.
Mm-hmm.
So I believed them, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have any reason not to believe what my parents told me.
Right.
Until one day, one of the fathers returned home.
From the war.
From the war. I thought it was a war. He had been in prison.
So you thought he was a prisoner of war.
I thought he was a prisoner of war.
And the Lord allowed him
home. And so I rejoiced with the kids that their father was alive.
Oh, gosh, because really.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know.
His
dad has come back
from
the war.
But
from
really,
being a prisoner of war.
But that not of war.
Not of war.
You had no idea. And you're like, isn't this great?
I know.
And I love that you were so excited for them.
I know, for the kids. I'm like, your daddy is alive, you know? That was just something else. And, you know, my siblings.
How old were you when that happened?
I think I was 7 or so.
Oh.
It was just hilarious. But it was like, oh.
Oh, that's good. All right. And what was the
But
other
my
one?
Parents, you know, they were very good at feeding, you know, taking care of the widows and orphans,
mm-hmm.
you know, and taking care of people. They were very good givers. And loved the community and loved everything about it. Mm. So that to me, it was just hilarious. My second one was my family. I saw this movie years ago called My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I identified totally with that. You know, my family wasn't Greek, but they should have been.
So you identified with the family?
With the family there.
Here we go.
Because,
okay,
you know, in the Big Fat Greek Wedding, no spoiler alert here, she brings home this guy to meet her family, her Greek family, and he's a vegetarian.
Okay.
And it was the first time they were like, vegetarian, what does it mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They said, no meat. They said, oh, let him eat lamb. So that was my family.
Right.
We meet the first vegetarian that came over to my parents' house. And
now, you know,
I think it was one of my brothers brought somebody or a friend or whatever.
So they said, I'm a vegetarian, and your parents went.
Like, what's vegetarian? What is a vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
They don't eat meat.
Right.
They were like, oh, give her collard greens. Well, collard greens has a whole ham hock in there, okay? And the black eyed peas has meat, you know? It's like, okay, just give her collard greens.
Wait a minute. Did the person didn't know that?
They knew that. Because you can see the meat inside of the, you know, they didn't hide the meat. They were like, okay, here's the vegetables. Here's all of our southern vegetables.
They're doing their best just to be.
So they ate it. You know, God, it's like you tell a southern person no meat. It's like, what is no meat?
Yeah,
you know.
So you want cow.
you just want, you know, a chicken wing, right?
Right. Yeah, you just want less meat. That's so great. Yeah, you just want. So you want the country fried steak on the side. So perfect. Oh, man. Thank you for those stories. We will get those up. We have a humor section, and I have to come up with some idiotic title for those, and we will get.
Thank you.
We will get those on there. So.
Especially the POW story, yes.
I can't wait to get off the show just to tell these jokes to people. So, all right. So we were, man, I lost my entire train of thought. Where were we at in your story? We were just getting
me through my education.
That's right.
I got through my doctorate in theology.
Yeah. So what you said, God worked in mysterious ways. So what did he do to get you from like the business organizational thing to the theology? Like what happened during that time to make you go, this is what I want?
So,
or did you already know?
I believe that part of my first doctorate desire to get a doctorate in theology is my desire to get closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that these stories of the women, as I went into politics, I didn't know politics. I knew Jesus. I just didn't know politics.
Now, when did you do that? Like, when did you start?
2004 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't know. Around a little bit before that in politics, but definitely out there in around 2004.
All right.
And these women's groups would ask me to come and speak to them because I'm, you know, black, conservative, Republican, you know, unicorn, you know.
Yeah, it's unique.
It is unique,
yeah.
And so I didn't consider myself unique.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were both Republicans and but I just thought it fit for me.
Your mentality of how you see things that I can
and
get.
And it just
done.
Aligned more the principles, the platform aligned more with me. But I didn't know what to say when these women asked me to come and speak. So
what do you mean?
I wrote, they would invite me to come and speak. There's a black Republican in Ingham
County.
But
speak about what?
Just politics.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know politics. Mm. I knew Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I knew principles of the Republican Party and that I aligned with.
So that's how that came about?
And these were the speeches that I gave.
No kidding.
These were the actual speeches that I gave. To encourage Republican women.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that was
what made you put it into a book?
I put it into a book because I had already studied these women. Mm. I had already studied this, and so when my dissertation became due, I had dusted
two
off
two birds, one stone.
I dusted off my speeches.
Okay,
and
so
I had already done the work and studied the word.
So if someone wanted to read this, what would be the reason? Like, what would be?
So one of the reasons why is anybody, so it's not necessarily just for Republican women. It, men and women, children, young people have looked at it and they really were inspired. It's just to inspire people that the Lord does not act or behave or look or view us as mere chattel, as women, as mere chattel.
Right.
Women who've been marginalized, even prostitutes and others, have a value to the Lord.
Right.
And regardless of where you came from, he can still use you.
That's
right. He can still use you.
That's right.
And so that's what this book does. Mm-hmm. It just affirms what the Lord sees in you and not what society would say about you.
So if someone needed to get a book to affirm their value, this would be the book that you would tell them to get.
For men, women, children, teenagers, you name it, to affirm who God is. First of all, it points who God is, how sovereign he is, and how he can use your pain, how he can use your past, how he can use your present to glorify him.
Right.
And these women were women that were thought nothing of, some of them, but he saw fit to use women.
Gotcha.
And I selected, like, the first chapter is the daughters, five daughters of Zelophehad.
Okay.
And these are women who were activists, and they litigated and made their case that their father died, had no sons, and at the time, the property for that father would go to the uncles. Or any male heir.
Yeah.
Women were mere chattel. They were just not human. They weren't valuable.
Right.
But they went to Moses in the tent of meeting and said, our father died and we deserve property rights.
Wow.
And the Moses, inspired by God, said, let me inquire of the Lord about your request. Because these are five daughters coming to them demanding property rights. It's not done.
Right.
And so he inquired of the Lord. And Numbers 27 says that the Lord, God himself, dictated to Moses property rights for Israel.
Yeah.
Based on the request. And God said the five daughters of Zelophehad are correct. They are entitled to property. And that is where we get property rights today. Yeah, yeah. You know, many of the laws that we have in the United States, they're Judeo-Christian values. They come from these laws. But these young women who were nothing were written in a very short segment in the Bible about their ability to petition for what is right. And that is what we're doing now. You know, especially political activists and women on both sides of the aisle, they're petitioning for what they believe is right.
Right.
And the Lord is the one who decides what is right.
So you're just because I like to get to ARCs.
Yes.
So your family came from Alabama, large family, left because of racial
lynching
issues.
Yeah.
Came to Michigan because it was the farthest point away from where you're at.
Yes, yes.
Grew up in racially charged environment.
Yes.
Chose to work hard.
Yep.
Decided to go apply for things that you liked and didn't like. Knew things that made decisions of what you liked and didn't like.
Right.
Produced relationships, family. And at the end of that, decided to get education to plan for your retirement so you could do what?
So I want to teach. I still want to teach at a college level. So you
want to be a professor, not a teacher.
I wanted to be a professor.
All right,
yeah, so, same thing, educator.
So you got your theological PhD.
Doctorate,
yeah. Yeah, doctorate. And then you decided
that I was going to pursue education, a doctorate in education.
So you wanted to be called Dr. Doctor.
I didn't go for double D, but that's what it is right now.
Dr. Squared.
Dr. Squared, D2. Yes, so I was looking at just being satisfied with the doctor theology, and it was great. But the Lord placed on my heart to pursue a doctorate in education, and it would really, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a teacher, and so for me, the desire to teach and to educate was is great, but I was looking at being a professor at a Christian university or college, and that was my ultimate goal, and it still is.
Okay.
And so I pursued that and got my doctorate in education, and with an emphasis in organizational leadership, because I think that leadership is what is lacking. And, in terms of biblical leadership, we look at people who need to know the times. There's a scripture that talks about the men of Issachar. There were 200 of them. Mm-hmm. They had all kinds of fighting warriors that came to help David against Saul, but there were 200 from the men of Issachar. And the Bible said they knew the times they lived in and knew what Israel ought to do. That was one of my inspirations for getting a doctorate in education, is that we need to know the times we live in.
Right.
And we need to know spiritually, practically, what we ought to do. Mm-hmm. And not that I was trying to be part of the men of Issachar, but I wanted to at least be on the forefront of fighting the good fight for Christ Jesus, and really being a representative of light and salt on this earth. And in my pursuit of education and a doctorate in education, the Lord, inspired me to run for office too. So I placed my name on the ballot, or put my name out there for the State Board of Education. I got the primary. I will be on your November 8th ballot.
Oh, all right. And what's that for?
For the Michigan State Board of Education.
Okay. And so that is something that people can find on lyndaleetarver.com?
They can find it on lyndatarver.com.
Lyndatarver.com
is my political website, but lyndaleetarver.com is my business site.
Right. Well, and just real quick, you had another book.
Yes.
Like a kid book that's going to be...
It's a children's book. It is my first of three trilogy in a series. Mm-hmm. So my first children's book is called Jesus, Who is Christmas is Born. Mm. It is a wonderfully illustrated children's book that gives a viewpoint of Jesus from the vision of an angel, a little angel. Mm-hmm. And so the angel is looking at mankind and looking at the world and looking from the perspective of heaven, mm-hmm. how the Lord God loves these people mm-hmm. on this earth.
Yeah.
And how Adam and Eve, they sinned and sinned, and it separated them from God. And and how Jesus, they had a board meeting, and Jesus had to be sent to the earth to save the earth.
Wow.
And so he had to be born.
Almost sounds like organizational management.
But it tells the story of Jesus being born and why he came, and that he existed before the manger.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that it is a, it's a good book, but it's a scripturally accurate book.
And they can find it at the same...
St. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Liberty Hill Press.
All right. Well, Linda, I told you this was going to go fast.
I know.
Man, that was so much fun. You are an absolutely amazing person. I am so glad that you came out here.
God has been good to me.
I look forward to being a help. You guys got to check her out and see what she's doing. What a fantastic life you chose to make. You made those decisions and trusted God to get you to that path.
Amen.
And you found something that you love to do.
Amen.
I can feel that at a very visceral level. So, lyndatarver.com, lyndaleetarver.com.
Yes, either one of those.
That's right.
Yes.
And we will be putting a link for you.
Thank you.
Onto our website. We will get that done at spiritualwarfareunit.com. So if people can get that book, for an inspiring book, anybody that... everybody struggles. Everybody needs something that sounds good to them. So, listen, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the Spiritual Warfare Unit, and we will see you guys next week. Do you have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much. Came down when you love
swear.